and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me.
Really good to be here, and it's just good to see everybody. I guess today, most of all, my prayer is that God will speak to us, that His Spirit will teach us in this meeting, that He'll rule and overrule. But it's so important that we learn to serve Him. And I'd like to make that so clear to you that, you know, we can tell so many people so many things and they can sit and nod. They might disagree with you and you'll get out your books and argue about it, or there's so many things we can do with words. But the convincing of people seems to be in our service, with our lives. The things that are demonstrated when we go out and we work shoulder to shoulder with people. The Lord works through us. And He needs His servants. It's hard for me to know where to start. As I prayed to prepare for the sermon, so many scriptures, so many things came to me, and I feel so full. Now if I can just transfer it to you guys a little. So pray for me. In fact, I've had enough on my mind that I couldn't even write it down, so I don't have any notes either. I think I'd like to start, though, with repentance. I'd like to start with our beginning, you know, and it's the one that's the opportunity for us from day to day. I think I'm going to talk a lot about God today and about His Spirit and how it needs to dwell within us, how we need to be possessed of it and ready in His service all the time. I want to start with a little, it's a song, but the words of it are a prayer. And this is the 51st Psalm. And so I want to read this prayer because it's a repentant prayer. And I want to dwell on this type of prayer just for a little while. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee alone have I sinned, and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest, and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which Thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide Thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of Thy righteousness. O Lord, open Thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth Thy praise. For Thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, Thou wilt not despise. Do good in Thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build Thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt Thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness and with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon Thine altar. I know this is an old, old psalm. But there's some components here I'd like to point out a bit. Here, it begins with a confession, a realization of our standing. You know, man was created out of the dust of the earth. He's created out of the dust of the earth. It's so, I know I've read in the 103rd Psalm, it says that man is, let me not misquote it. Psalm, the 15th verse. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that exceed in strength, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, back where I was before in the 51st Psalm, I began to talk about the fact that it starts out with confession, and I think it's good with that to realize who we are as man and that we were created out of the dust. But we need faith. When we kneel to repent, we need to pray with faith, believing how faithful God is, that when we do repent, He forgives us. If we don't believe that, we can become so buried, so bogged down by the weight of the world, by the weight of our sin. Believe that He will forgive you so that you can start again, so that you can be clean and start over. I said as I started to talk about repentance that it's just the beginning of the things I want to talk about, because I want to go beyond. But let's start with it. Believe that He will forgive you so that you can be clean, so that you can start over and go forth in His strength, so you can be His people. Well, what else did he get around to here? Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from thy sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. And this is what I want to get to. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. When I was a little boy, I'm not sure what it was that made me so concerned about it. I wanted to be trustworthy. I wanted people to trust me. And I thought about all kinds of ways I could do that. You know, first of all, by being trustworthy. But somewhere along the line, I learned to pray for it. And I began to pray that God would make me trustworthy. And it's funny, I began to feel different when I prayed about it. I begin to feel the blessing that I'd asked for. Oh, I was mischievous. How could I have been trustworthy? Well, my wife will tell you that I didn't much get over the mischievous very well. We've had quite a few episodes. I remember when we first got married, we had an apartment that was a one-bedroom apartment, and the closet had a door in the bedroom, but there was a door at the other side that went out into the bathroom, and then you could go out of the bathroom into the hall. And so at night I'd go in there, and we were tired, it was time to go to bed, and I'd go in there and shut out the light, and I'd, you know, go over to the bed and get in bed. I'd push on the mattress and act like I was settling in and drop right on the floor. Sneak right out through the door into the closet and out into the bathroom, you know. And she'd lay there and she'd talk to me. After a while, she'd ask me a question and I wouldn't respond, of course, and I'd hear her hand on the bed, thump, 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 Jerry. And so she'd come to the usual place. She'd come to the closet and, well, it was a fun closet because it had a switch that turned on the light from the bedroom. But it also had a switch that turned on the light from the bathroom. And so she'd go over to the closet door and she'd turn on the light. Of course, I'd click it right back off, you know. Yeah, I'm a little mischievous. But I really think God blessed me. I really think people trust me, and I've tried to be trustworthy. I'm just giving it as an example. Because pray for this clean heart. Pray for it. I remember a sermon by a good friend of mine, one of our brothers. And he was talking about trying to have faith. And he'd kneel down at night and he'd try to have faith. And when he started to talk about this, oh, it was so familiar because I could just remember doing it. He would clench his fist and bite his jaw and just try with everything he had to have faith. And I remember doing that even when I was a kid, thinking, I got to get this prayer above the roof, you know. I try so hard to pray hard. And I know so many times I actually got kind of discouraged with myself, because in my trying to have faith and pray hard, sometimes I'd fall asleep. And I'd be really disappointed. But I think I was only about 10 years old. And I was troubled, because I just didn't feel like God would forgive me. I felt like, I don't know, it's hard to remember, but I know you look back and you look at a 10-year-old and you say, well, how could a 10-year-old feel guilty? They're just a little kid. A 10-year-old is not a little kid in their own eyes. They're not. They feel big. They're trying to become an adult. They're only 10. Well, I was troubled. And to make things really plain, I didn't want to go to hell. I believed all that. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to be forgiven of my sins. And so I prayed and I tried and I prayed. Well, you know, one night, I fell asleep again. And I was praying pretty desperately. And suddenly I was startled awake. And it sounded like in the living room, one of the windows was banging up and down. There was a light by my bed. I got up and the light went out the door. And I walked out the door and down the hall. And into the living room, and the light went right over to the middle window. In the living room, we have a big three-window mull unit, you know, three windows right next to each other. And the middle window just it's like a judge's gavel or something. It just raised up and slammed three times. Bang, bang, bang. And I was sitting there looking at it. And then this voice came and it said my name, my full name, slowly. And it said, I have heard your prayers, and I have forgiven you. Well, in my long life at 10, I don't think I ever felt so relieved. God is that faithful. And let me real quick turn over here to Enos and read you that this is scriptural. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just give you another little example. Book of Enos, 193 in your Book of Mormons. Starting with the first verse. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints sank deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I knelt down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him, yea, and when the night came I did raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen. And many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh, wherefore go to, thy sin hath made thee whole. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And I want you to, the reason I'm reading on here is because we're talking about that phrase, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And as Enos knelt and prayed here, and he received remission of his sins, you begin to see here the results of a clean heart and the possession of a right spirit. Because his heart begins to be turned towards the welfare of his brethren. And now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came into my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. The Lord spoke to him again and reassured him. I have given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be for the cause of iniquity. Wherefore I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads. And after I, Enos, had heard these words, my faith began to be unshaken in the Lord, and I prayed unto him with many long strugglings for my brethren, the Lamanites. Now that's changed. He was first praying for his brethren, the Nephites. Now, among the Nephites, these were his friends. But that was not true among the Lamanites. Let's go on. And it came to pass that after I had prayed and labored with all diligence, the Lord said unto me, I will grant unto thee according to thy desires because of thy faith. And now behold, this was the desire which I desired of him, that if it should be that my people the Nephites should fall into transgression and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people the Nephites, even if it so be by the power of his holy arm, that it might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation. For at the present, our strugglings were vain in restoring them to the true faith. And they swore in their wrath that if it were possible, they would destroy our records and us, and also all the traditions of our fathers. His heart was turned outward in love, in a desire for the salvation of these people's souls and for the furthering of God's work. First for his brethren who were his friends, and then it reached right on out to, he calls them his brethren, the Lamanites, that would even destroy them. the Lamanites desired to destroy them and their records. They were his enemies. And he prayed for them with great love. With great love. Wherefore, I knowing that the Lord God was able to preserve our records, I cried unto him continually, for he had said unto me, whatsoever thing ye shall ask in faith, believing that ye shall receive it in the name of Christ, ye shall receive it. And I had faith, and I did cry unto God that he would preserve the records. And the covenant, and he covenanted with me that he would bring them forth unto the Lamanites in his own due time. And I, Enos, knew it would be according to the covenant which he had made, wherefore my soul did rest. A rest that we need. That rest that's created, that peace that passes understanding, that comes through true repentance, receiving a remission of our sins and being possessed of a clean heart and a right spirit. Well, I'm going to jump back just a hair too here. There's something that shocked me one day. I was just reading, and I know I've read it so many times, and yet it came out to me differently. I'm turning over in Matthew. Okay, now if you're going to repent, confess your weakness and approach God in prayer, a prayer of real faith, begging a remission of your sins. Remember, when I was a little kid, we used to have reading, we called it. And to tell you the truth, we learned a lot of good stuff. And I'm amazed at how much I remembered out of that. We'd gather around in the evening, and my dad would read, like, maybe a chapter. And we went all the way through the Bible, and we went all the way through the Book of Mormon. And it seems like we read through the history of Joseph Smith that was written by his wife. But I was amazed at how many things I learned out of that, because, man, it was kind of a pain. Kids don't like to sit still. And to sit still just long enough for this reading was kind of a bother. And I remember sitting there and thinking, when is this ever going to be over? And I try to be patient with my kids when they say, when's church going to be over? And because I remember so much of what I learned there, when at the time I didn't feel like I wanted to be there very bad. Do your kids a favor. Take some time out every day and dedicate it to God. For the sake of their soul. For the sake of those things that are eternal. I was turning over in Matthew, wasn't I? 6th chapter of Matthew, 9th verse. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Think about that. Have you considered taking time, like when you kneel down at night? Kind of go through your day. See if there's anybody you have ought against. Anybody that you don't feel forgiveness toward. And try to get that fixed. Try to get that fixed. Learn forgiveness. Forgiveness that your Heavenly Father can forgive you. I didn't remember that it said that quite as strong. But if you forgive not man their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So as you kneel and you pray and ask for forgiveness, be forgiving. Be forgiving. Sometimes, if you really take the time to think about it, you're going to find out maybe there's a little more involved in this repentance. Sometimes you need to get up and go to people and get things straightened out. Truly forgive them. Get the problems between you settled. Seems like there's something I've left out in repentance. And I'm just going to say it real quick. And I wish there was a way to belabor it and make it painful to you so you'd remember it. Go and sin no more. Remain obedient. I'm turning in my Book of Mormon now, and I'm going over to this is Nauma, the third chapter. And like I like to do, I think I'm going to make you stick your finger in it because I thought of something else. I turned on over to the 16th chapter of Alma now. I think I've covered repentance pretty good. But now I want to go on and talk about being possessed of this clean heart and this right spirit. I think that sometimes we come to the point of repentance and we repent and we kind of become a people that don't. Well, I'm good because I don't. There is so much good to be done. There's so much service to do for the Lord. And if you read in Corinthians, it talks about the body of Christ, and you'll find out there is so many members in particular. So many ways to serve God. I believe that my wife is a servant of God. And I believe it's made manifest in the way she touches my children. The way she loves them, the way she nourishes them, the way she nourishes me. She's such a support. I believe that's part of the body of the Christ. That's part of your service to God. It possesses the way you treat one another in all things, in your marriages, in your relationship with your kids. And it has to do with the way you treat all people. In the sermon this morning, we heard a little example of how people, you know, you can treat your brethren right and not treat other people right. You can't do that. You need to be possessed of God's way. We heard in the sermon last night, we need to walk in the footsteps of Christ. Walk as He walked. And He was good to people. He treated them rightly, and He loved them. It showed. It showed in the way He treated them. I turned over to 431 here. It's 16th chapter of Alma. Verse I'm going to start with I guess I'll start with 225, verse 225. Therefore, if you do not remember to be charitable, you are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and it is trodden under the foot of man. And now, my brethren, I would that after ye have received so many witnesses, seeing that the Holy Scriptures testify of these things, come forth and bring fruit unto repentance. Yea, I would that ye would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. But behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And therefore, if ye will repent and harden not your hearts, immediately shall the great plan of redemption be brought about unto you. And I want you to think about that. And I want you to take it just very literally when it says, for behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. And what I mean by take it very literally is I want you to think about it right now. We put things off. There's so much service to do that we need to have this mighty change in our heart and dwell in the Spirit of God and go on and serve Him, not repeatedly go back and fall into our evil ways. Think, what can you change? And I'm not talking to a crowd here. I'm talking to all of you by yourself. What can you do in this, the day of your salvation? Take it to heart. Yea, I would that you would come forth and harden not your hearts any longer. For behold, now is the time and the day of your salvation. Day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Ye cannot say when ye are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return unto my God. Nay, ye cannot say this, for that same Spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, that same Spirit will have power to possess your body in that eternal world. For behold, if ye have procrastinated the day of your repentance even unto death, behold, ye have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Therefore, the Spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you and hath no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you, and this is the final state of the wicked. Have you ever considered the fact that by the things that you do, by the way in which you live, a spirit possesses you? Think about that. It says, that same Spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that you go out of this life, that same Spirit will have power to possess your body in the eternal world. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Well, you stuck your finger in it, I hope, because I'm going back over here to the third chapter of Alma. And now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren, this is the 27th verse. Now, behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? And I would have you dwell on that just a little bit. Have you received His image in your countenances? Well, you know, I've spent some time thinking about that. I'm kind of a person that likes to get alone. I seem to think better when I'm alone. I like to, like in the wintertime, I like to go out and split wood when it's snowing because it's so quiet. I live out in the country. And like this morning, I got up and I walked. And during these times, it seems like the Spirit of God is able to rest on me in special strength. I guess it's because I'm not distracted. And I've wondered, do I have His image on my countenance? What did His face look like? What kind of love was born in His eyes? There was something special there when He walked this earth that shone through His face. I believe it shows through His face now. But He was able to say things in a very direct way, and it was so full of love that people were able to take it in. Am I possessed of that? Are you? One day, when we first moved into our house, we didn't have a furnace. We had a wood-burning stove. And Amy was real little. She had just turned one. And, she was about one and a half, maybe, about by then, because it was getting cold. We had the stove going in our living room, and it's just a big iron stove. And it's very hot on the outside when it's got a good fire in it. And here was Amy just tottering across the living room at this fire. And there was nothing to see because when you got the door shut, it's just a stove sitting there. You don't realize it might be really hot, except that you can kind of hear it sing. And I saw her and I saw where she was going and I feared for her. And I cried out to her. I said, "Amy, no! Turn around. Come back." I said, "That's hot. That'll hurt you." And I guess I cried out so it scared me. And when I cried out, I thought, I heard myself in my ear and I thought, uh-oh, I might have scared her, you know. But she turned around and she looked in my face. And she ran across the living room floor and reached up and grabbed my neck and just hugged me. I guess maybe one time I had the right look on my face. And she understood that when I called out at her and told her to turn around, that it was because I loved her. It was for her welfare. And somehow that little child realized that, and she came and she just loved me. She just held up her arms and just hugged me. The good Lord loves us enough to rebuke us. And we need to have that clean heart, that right spirit like a child, that accepts that in love. And is there any reason that we can't just throw up our arms and thank Him, just embrace Him, accept His rebuke, and change. I remember, was it a Missouri reunion out in Colorado? It's a Colorado reunion, and my granddad Case, who just passed on this past February, was preaching, and he was out there, and I was a little kid, but I remember him saying, excuse me, I don't have a handkerchief. He was saying, we are living so far beneath our privileges. And he repeated it several times during his sermon. And that's what I believe. And I believe, like when I read to you in here, that says, seeing you have had so many witnesses, and you have, the Lord has blessed us so much. We know of His goodness. Let's go on and believe it. And let's go on into perfection. Not falling back into sin, but becoming His servants in all things. Now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, excuse me, I don't believe tithes are for that purpose either. Thank you, Aaron. Now behold, I ask you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born of God? Have you received His image in your countenances? Have you received this mighty change in your heart? Have you experienced this mighty change in your hearts? And do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption, to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which ye have done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of God saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Or do you imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that He will save you? You know, we're weak. We're weak. But He is strong. He is strong. We need to no longer lean to our own understandings. We need to be possessed of His Spirit and rely on Him. Let me give you a quick example here. I have a friend I've learned a lot of things from. I haven't seen in a while now. But he was shopping in the grocery store, and I think that's where our service lies, in the grocery store. With the way we drive on the freeway, I believe that we testify as to our true deep belief in the way we treat people, by the example we set. Well, he was in the grocery store. He's a guy who prays a lot. Some of you have heard this before. But as he was standing there, kind of involved and looking at the prices and shopping, this young lady pushed a wheelchair by him, and in the wheelchair was a little frail lady, and she had a little oxygen mask on, and it led to the little oxygen tank, and she was just so obviously weak and ailing. She pushed him by him and went off up through this door. And he said that a voice told him to go to her and pray for her. Well, he knew better than to do that. He would embarrass her. And it's kind of obnoxious. Think about it. He's not a radical. He's a humble follower of God. And he couldn't do that. And he was concerned for her. He didn't want to turn her away. So he turned and he began to shop. And this boy said, I keep wanting to say his name. It won't mean much to you. His name's Aliyemika Shalaja. And everyone calls him Yinka. But he said, Yinka, go to her and pray for her. Well, he just knew better. And he really does try to do right. Well, he walked on off across the store in the other direction, clear away from her. And as he got over there, the voice spoke to him again and said, Yinka, go to her and pray for her. And finally he said, Lord, if you want me to do that, then bring her to me. Show me that it's truly you. And he thought that would take care of it. But as he quick glanced over there, he saw this young lady. And she rushed out between two of the aisles and ran back off across the store to where she'd parked that wheelchair. And she grabbed it and turned and pushed her all the way across the store over by the fresh produce where he was, and just right up next to him and parked her there and turned around and walked back and went in the aisle where she was. Yinka was kind of shook. And he reached over and he just put his hand on her shoulder and very quietly he began to pray. He didn't know her. But he said, as he began to pray, the Lord just opened his heart and he knew what she needed. And he began to pray for her with strength. And as he began to pray for her, she just began to shake. And as he finished praying, he looked up and there she was. And she was clinging to his arm and just crying. And she said, oh, thank you. I needed that so bad. And she said, I've been sick so long that I don't ask anymore. We don't know what's best. We can't afford to lean to our own understanding. We have to be submissive to the will of God in all things. And we think about embarrassment. We think of so many things. Who are we to be embarrassed? What problems should we have being embarrassed? The Lord Jesus Christ was marched up the road bearing a cross with a crown of thorns on his head. And they spat on him and they mocked him and they hit him. Should we have any problem with a little embarrassment? I think I have a rare opportunity today in that we've had sermons following each other and we've had such good sermons teaching us to be obedient and teaching us to repent. So it seems like it gave me the opportunity today to talk to you about what to do after you repent. And that's to keep your heart clean and to remain possessed of that right spirit dwelling within you, teaching you all things what you should do. And that's where that strength comes. That's the reason, yes, you can endure to the end and have eternal life. And you're the dust of the earth. Christ walked up a long road. He endured a lot of pain. And it's for this purpose, that we should have eternal life. Believe in that. And remain faithful to the end. I want you to think, you know, I myself have heard sermons and I've gone away and thought, oh, I'm restored. But what counts is the way you behave now. That's what counts. I want you to take this as the day of your salvation. Today. I want you to have a mighty change in your heart. I want you to be possessed of the Spirit of God and do not leave it, because He will not leave. In the third chapter of Revelation, He said, I stand at the door and I knock. I like that. It shows His way. He's not just passive. It's His desire to come unto you, come in unto you and sup with you. We have a friend that has been our friend with an undying love through all time. And not just that, He has been your friend. Get to know Him. You know, my wife would have thought I was rather strange. Not that she doesn't. But she loves me. She would have thought I was rather strange if I had just walked up to her for the first time and said, Cindy, or I wouldn't have known her name, would I? Ma'am, would you marry me? I want to live with you for the rest of my life. I talked to her. We spent time together. We spent time together alone. We learned to know one another. We talked. And we listened. Don't ever forget, we also listened. And there was a love there that grew more than just a love between two people, I believe. Because God gets in on that stuff. He likes love. Until I really knew her. And she knew me. And I said, Cindy, will you marry me? I want to spend the rest of my life with you. How will you live forever with a God that you do not know and you can't love? Talk to Him and listen to Him. Be possessed of His free spirit. Know Him in all things, in all your ways. Show other men that you know Him. And go and spend the rest of your eternal life with Him. It is your choice. Because He has promised His faithfulness. He has promised His faithfulness. I love you. Pray for me and I'll pray for you. Serve God. Serve God. Experience this mighty change in your heart and pray. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I do thank Him for all of His ways, for all of His example. And I believe we are compassed about by a huge cloud of miracles. All of you kind of have your own little set of little places where the Lord's touched you. I on my mind today, and I'm not sure why, is a gathering I was at where I was doing a normal thing at that time. I was underneath my car working in it. And I was happened to be at a co-op meeting. One of our little, I believe it was a young people's outing. No, it was a camp for all ages. And I had my car jacked up the best I could. And I'd punched a hole in the oil pan and I was trying to drill it out and seal it up with a bolt. And while I was working away there, someone suddenly yelled, "Jerry, get out fast." And on the word fast, the whole world just blew up. And I thought, while I was drilling there, the oil was dripping down in my hair and running down my arms. And I was working with an old drill that had the cords exposed. It was all frayed. And I thought, it caught fire and it blew up, you know. But I heard His voice say, "Jerry." And that, it just told me the whole story, because there was panic in His voice. And I started to try to turn and get out from underneath the car. And then I just heard this terrible loud noise. And I remember my heart just sunk. I didn't make it. And then, George Adams was standing across on the other side of the car from me, and he said that my head just popped up out of the dust, like 20 feet on the other side of the car, and I was at a dead run. I believe the Lord jerked me out of there and preserved me. And if the last thing I do in life is to preach this sermon, I want it to be to His glory, because He preserved me. Don't be fooled. Don't ever think that He doesn't preserve you. If you haven't had something terrible and dangerous happen to you, just get on your knees. It's just another testimony. I'll give credit to the man that the Lord helped remember that I was underneath that car. What happened was a van rolled down the hill and crashed into my car and knocked it down off the jacks and drove my tools into the ground and just would have killed me. But the Lord helped Jim Pennington remember I was under there. And George had been sitting there talking to me, and he said that everything happened so fast that until Jim yelled, he even forgot I was underneath the car. I jumped up and I ran. How can you do that? I was under the middle of the car. The Lord sustains you. He is your life. It's more than a decision of whether to go on and serve Him. It's a decision of whether you want to live forever. Don't ever pass away from Him. He sustains you. He sustained you in all things. Maybe He asked me to stand in front of you because He knows I'm unworthy and that maybe you'll glorify Him. And I pray that you do. Bye-bye. I'll shut up. But I sure love you.